tonight we go to Romans chapter 4, please. Believing and righteousness are the main theme of chapter 4. The desire of every man, I'm speaking now of the natural man, and sometimes even of those who are born again, shouldn't be true, but the desire of every natural man is to find some grounds for boasting, something to do or something to endure, to make salvation or his salvation secure, redemption and justification, righteousness and sanctification complete. Romans chapter 3, 28 settles it all. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by believing without the deeds of the law. Again, I feel that this section of Romans is so fantastically big that no man with any greatness of the love of God in his heart could ever say it any better than the Word says it. And again, all I will endeavor to do is to approximate some of the greatness of that Word and perhaps say it in a way that the Word itself will become increasingly more clear to all of you. I think all of us have lived long enough and have seen enough among Christians that even for the most part, Christians, always they want to do something or they want to endure something in order to make their salvation secure, in order to make redemption, justification, righteousness, sanctification complete in their life. If there's going to be any boasting, the boasting ought to be in the hope of the glory of God. In Romans 5:1, it says, being justified by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. If there's going to be any boasting, that's the word rejoice again, any boasting, our boasting is in the hope of the glory of God. It is not classed in something that I do or something that I endure to make salvation a reality in my life. There's a record in Jeremiah I'd like for you to check. Isaiah, Jeremiah, chapter 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his what? Wisdom. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So if there's going to be any glorying, any boasting, it's got to be glory in the Lord, that he is our God. The section in Romans chapter 4, the first great part of this chapter includes the first 8 verses. Verse 1, what shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Working this in my mind, not only this verse, but the first 8 verses, as I said, I see believing in righteousness as the main theme of this entire chapter. But I also see in this chapter the usage of the word law, which I think the core kids ought to understand. That the word law, as it's used in the Word, has to always be understood in one of 3 ways. Sometimes the Word represents the whole Old Testament teaching class. At another time, it simply evidences the Mosaic law, or that which was given at Mount Sinai. And the third usage of the word law in the Old Testament at times refers basically to the rite of circumcision. There is a word translated, imputed, reckoned, in this section of Romans, which is the word, Greek word, logizomai, L-O-G-I-Z-O-M-A-I. Sometimes it's just that word, logizomai, Then it's the word logizomai plus the word eis, E-I-S. As I said, it's translated counted, reckoned, imputed. This word logizomai is used in verse 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, 22, 23, and 24 of this chapter. How many times is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11 times, isn't it? Is that what you counted to? And as I said, it's translated counted, reckoned, or imputed. And every one of those places you ought to mark. Now, in working this section of Romans, I have seen that the usage of this word logizomai, or logizomai plus the ace, is somewhat different. The word logizomai by itself is to impute something, while the word logizomai with the word ace is to impute one thing for another. To impute something, its first usage, or its basic usage as I see it, it's used in verse 6 in that sense, verse 8, verse 10, verse 11, verse 23, and 24. While imputed, where one thing is for another, is in verse 3, 5, and 22. I think the clearest way I know of expressing it, if we would, instead of using for another, would be unto, as it's used in Romans 1, 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Or as it's in Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Regarding this counted, reckoned, imputed something, 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. You see, righteousness is actually imputed, but believing is imputed for or unto righteousness. It is righteousness of God which is actually imputed, but the believing is imputed unto. Romans 10:10, remember? Unto, for unto. Every writer, basically, that I've checked through the years along this line, they have a real problem with the word faith. And really, outside of our ministry, I don't know if there are very many people who would understand it as we understand it. And that is that the word pistis may be translated faith or believing, depends on where it is. And this has become very singularly significant to us in the core and in our research ministry. And I think it's made it possible for us to handle so many, many verses so simply and easily, because we have gotten an understanding of the man of body, soul, and spirit, knowing that the natural man of just body and soul has a mind. The man of body, soul, and spirit also has a mind. And understanding this man of body and soul having a mind, it is possible for him to believe. And it's also possible when a man's born again, body, soul, and spirit man, to believe. But having confused the word faith and believing, it's been very difficult for them to put these sections of God's word really together. But I think that record in Galatians, before faith came, remember? We were kept under the law, is what has basically been the great fulcrum that has clarified for us these tremendous truths regarding faith and believing. The man of body and soul can hear the word of God and he can believe. But believing is works class. And we're not saved by works, we're saved by what? That's why it's believing unto salvation. It's believing for righteousness or unto the righteousness of God. Boy, kids, when you ever separate that and you get it right in your mind and you straighten it out, there'll just be no problems regarding these matters. You see, what shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. See, the sixth verse of the 15th chapter of Genesis is that great verse of scripture on which all of this sets and dates back. Genesis 15, in verse 2, he talks about Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I am childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And here is verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he, the Lord, counted it to him for righteousness. That word counted in the Septuagint is the same word as the word imputed or logizomai that we talked about. You see, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 precedes the record I just read in 15:6. By believing, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By believing, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country. For he looked for a city, verse 10, which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through believing also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. You see, Abraham believed even before Genesis 15:6 period. This whole section about Abraham from Genesis 15 as well as from Genesis 12 is brought together so beautiful in Galatians 3, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted, imputed, reckoned to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore, they which are of believing, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, verse 8, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles or the heathen through believing, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So the blessings to all nations is not because of the flesh, it's because of one thing, believing. This becomes so tremendous when you just sit down and think it through. You see, Ephesians says, dead in trespasses and sins without God and without what? Abraham was dead. Sarah was dead as far as having that child. It's what Genesis 15:6 is talking about. Abraham was dead. It was impossible as far as the census world was concerned for Abraham and Sarah to have a baby. It was dead. Boy, when you think that one through, and as I get into Romans and handle this a little deeper with you, you'll see why Romans 10:9 becomes so great. If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in the heart that God did what? Thou shalt be what? Jesus Christ was what? Dead. It took God to resurrect him. Abraham, who is the father of all who believed, he and Sarah were dead as far as having the promised seed. It's like having a resurrection, Abraham, Sarah, a resurrection. I don't know how many people have seen that. Abraham, 99, Sarah, 90, way beyond childbearing, just like they were dead. And yet God said to him in that Genesis 15, in that section, his children are going to be like the stars, like the sands. In order to have that, it was just like in Christ Jesus, who was dead, God had to resurrect him. And that's why the believing of Abraham is so fantastic. Who against hope believed in hope. Remember? Boy, kids, this section in Romans again just sits like a diamond. Abraham had come to the end of his rope. He just knew, from a human point of view, it was a dead situation. Sarah could never have a baby, but she did. Every man knows that there's nothing he can do about getting saved. He's dead in trespasses and sins without God and without hope. That's why it's of grace. It's believing unto, but it's imputed by absolute grace, class. To impute something. Like, for instance, if we were to impute sin, is to lay sin to the account of another. Then to impute righteousness, there must be the same logic as the unsaved sinner is dead in trespasses and sins. So by the same logic, the saved sinner has to be righteous in Christ, has to have the righteousness of God by way of or means of what Jesus Christ made available. If to impute sin is to lay sin to the account of another, then to impute righteousness is to lay righteousness to the account of another. 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. To impute sin would be to lay sin to the account of another. Not imputing their trespasses. Now then we're ambassadors. For he, 21, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Not imputing their trespasses. But instead of imputed sin, it's imputed righteousness of God. How few people ever really gel this and really believe it. They mouth it, they talk about it, they read it in the Word, but they really never believe it in their lives. And that's why I said, as we began tonight in this section, that most people always want something to do or something to endure to make themselves more secure. I think perhaps the great translation by Coney Barrenhausen is just the most accurate I know of this section these first 8 verses of chapter 4, and this I am taking from Kony Barrenhausen. And listen to this tremendous translation of verse 1. What then can we say that our father Abraham gained by the fleshly ordinance? And he has a footnote on this, which I think is a better translation. Gained in the way of the flesh. What then can we say that our father Abraham gained in the way of the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has a ground of boasting. But, verse 3, he has no ground of boasting with God. For what says the scripture? Abraham had faith, is Kony Bear, it should be believing. Had believing in God. And it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. His believing was reckoned unto him for or unto righteousness. See the great translation? Believing is works. You're not saved by works. Saved by grace. But the natural man of body and soul can believe. It's like I taught you in the new birth. He hears the word of God. The natural man hears the word of God. Rightly divided. And he believes. He can believe. But he doesn't believe that he gets salvation, he believes for it, he believes unto it. And then God works the miracle of the new birth by grace. Abraham had believing in God, and it was reckoned, imputed, accounted unto him for or unto righteousness. Now, if a man earn his pay by his work, it is not imputed, it's not reckoned to him as a favor, as grace. But it is paid him as a debt. But if he earns nothing by his work, but puts believing, again, Kony Bear has faith, but puts believing in him who justifies the ungodly, then his faith, believing, is reckoned to him for righteousness. In like manner, David also tells the blessedness of the man to whom God reckoneth righteousness, not by works, but by another way, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord shall not reckon sin. That, I think, is a fantastically accurate translation, with the exception of the one word faith. And you having a better understanding of the usage of that word pistis, just believing is put there, knowing that the man of body and soul can believe. Even when he's born again and has the faith of Jesus Christ spiritually, he still is a body and soul man, and he must believe. In this section, verses 1 to 8, I will just give you a few more things on these verses. For instance, the word father in verse 1 is literally forefather. Remember the record in John 8? When the leaders said to him, they answered verse 39 and said unto him, Abraham is our father. You see, the Jews always prided themselves on going back and saying, well, Abraham is our father. And Jesus in verse 56 said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was what? Abraham looked for that what? City. See it? Abraham believed. The word as in verse 1 is the Greek word kata. In verse 2, The word buy is the word ek. The word glory is boast. But not before. The word before is the preposition pros. Verse 3, for what saith the scripture? The scripture is the reference to Genesis 15:6. And the word Abraham, you can put the word now in front of it. Now Abraham believed God. And it was counted, or legitsomide, unto is to him for righteousness. In verse 4, reckoned of grace is the word kata. I didn't note the second of. Is that kata to, but of debt? Kata should be. On him that justifieth the ungodly. The word ungodly is the Greek word asebes, A-S-E-B, long E-S. Many of the translators translated impious. I don't think that's hard enough. It doesn't communicate. You know, impious just means you don't count your beads tonight. It's much deeper than that. The ungodly are the unrighteous ones. In Romans 1:18, revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. In chapter 5 of Romans, in verse 6, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. For scarcely for a righteous man. In chapter 3, even the righteousness of God, in verse 22, upon all that believe. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's all ungodly, much deeper than just being impious. In Romans 10:12, for there's no difference between Jew and Greek. All ungodly justifieth the ungodly. For with the heart, in 10, Romans 10, you know, with the heart man believeth. All the ungodly believe unto righteousness. With the mouth confessions made unto salvation. In Romans 4:24, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. You see why this becomes so important, the resurrection? Because only God justifieth the ungodly because of the resurrection. And that's why he imputes righteousness to the unrighteous. His believing is counted for righteousness. In the epistle, first epistle of John, it's a wonderful verse in here, familiar to all of you. Chapter 3, verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth right, even as he is what? Righteous. That's why ultimately when you understand these great truths, then you can understand Romans 8:1, where it says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are where? In Christ Jesus. Then in verse 6, Romans 4, he gets to David. Even as David also, he starts with Abraham, then he gets to David. In 3:21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the what? How many categories are there in the Old Testament? 3. Law, prophets, the Psalms, the writings. That's why he goes to David. He has handled the first two, now he has to handle David. Boy, you talk about the integrity, accuracy, the inherent truths of the word. You see, David represents the third division of the Old Testament, the Psalms, the writings. That's why he goes to David. The word describeth is the Greek word lego, meaning says of, and he imputes righteousness without works, without, apart from. And now he handles verse 7 in a very, very unique and wonderful way, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Both iniquities are forgiven, sins are covered, are in the aorist tense. Uses iniquities are forgiven, sins are covered, not saying anything about the righteousness of God, but with the understanding here, if iniquities are forgiven, if sins are covered, what replaces it? The righteousness of God. And he uses iniquities are forgiven, sins covered, because sin is twofold. It's either sin of omission or commission. The word covered is kalupto with epi in front of it. E-P-I, K-A-L, U-P-T-O, long O, epikalupto. The word covered literally means to hide. It is more than a covering. It is more than just a covering class. Where is that scripture, he'll cast our sin from us as far as the east is from the west? Psalm 103, 11 and 12. He'll cast our sin from us as far as the what? East is from the west. Don't you see it? That's those words. Whose sins are absolutely aorist tense. They're covered. This is why in the Old Testament, to atone is more than just covering. It is covering to the deepest of the deepest sea, removed as far as the east is from the west. Our sins are covered, hidden. To atone is more than a covering over, it is a removal of. That's why the scripture says we're not even having a consciousness of sin. Boy, kids, if you can see this stuff, you can see Romans. And if you don't see it, you're not seeing Romans. It is much bigger than just an at-one-ment, because an at-one-ment is simply where it could just be a covering over. But it's more than that. It's not only a covering over, it's a removal of. It is an acquittal in a legal sense. Whose sins are covered. Covered to the end that it's as deep as the deepest sea, they're removed. Far as the east is from the west. And that is absolutely fantastic. How many, many times Christians have lived with sin consciousness. And what a slap in God's face that is. If Romans is right, and Romans is right. And when you put this all together, you see scriptures like, Abel is saved to the uttermost. He who knew no sin became sin. So that you and I might no longer be in sin, but that we might have the righteousness of what? Right. Therefore, when righteousness is imputed, it is imputed. It's reckoned. It's set to your account. You are righteous in him. Verse 8, that great verse. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord shall not reckon sin, impute sin. Conclusion of all this, of course, is in verse 23 of chapter 4 of Romans. Now it was not written for his sake alone. Talking about Abraham. He staggered not at the promise, remember? Not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us what? Also, to whom it shall be imputed. If If we believe one thing, what? There it is. That's the conclusion. He raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Confess with your mouth Jesus is what? God raised him from the dead. Resurrection is in view. As I told you, Abraham and Sarah as good as dead. Hebrews 11:12 says, therefore sprang there even of one, of him as good as what? Dead. 11:12. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Talking about Abraham. You see the resurrection in view? And in verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, whence also he received him in a figure. Talking about Isaac. It is at this place in the Word, when we're dealing with Abraham and his son Isaac, that you got to read a piece of work on research in one of our volumes, I don't know which one, but the one about the sacrifice of Isaac, to get it accurate and right and put it in your heart and life. Well, those are the first 8 verses of the 4th chapter. By the way, these verses, verse 8 and 7 and so forth, the quotations are from the Septuagint of Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. You may have that in the center reference of your Bible. And that's all we're going to do tonight.